This clip was recorded for the UK Wine Show. For more information about the UK Wine Show, you can go to ukwineshow.co.uk. Hi, my name's Chris Scott and I'm here with Drew Noon and Rachel Williams. How are you guys?
Yeah, good, thanks, Chris.
Very well, thank you, Chris.
Rachel, you're from the McLaren Vale Grape Wine and Tourism Association. Drew, you're a winemaker and McLaren Vale, Master of Wine, etc. Rachel, tell us about this old vine registry that you guys have set up.
Okay, so it came about from a few different reasons, I guess. Firstly, because we had seen the Jancis Robinson old vine register that she had and realised that we hadn't contributed anything to that, and obviously knew that we did have a lot of old vines in the region. And the other reason really was working with the Phylloxera and Biosecurity Group and sort of acknowledging that one of the reasons we have old vines, particularly in South Australia, is because we are Phylloxera free. So we really just wanted to try and get hold of the data as an association for our members so that we could put it out there to history's sake and also to maybe try to submit it to the Jancis Robinson register and put it out to consumers as well. So there's a whole lot of reasons why we wanted to do it. So we just put it out to our members and had a really good response. But there was probably close to 100, ranging in age from 35 years to 100 years.
I had a quick look at your registry, and it's quite good because you sort of do a little bit of analysis and you sort of break it down by grape variety as well, what the different ones are. So do you know off the top of your head what they are, sort of maybe the top five or six?
Certainly the top one would be Shiraz. Shiraz is the most commonly planted variety in McLaren Vale. So definitely Shiraz, and the other ones we have, just give me a sec.
I can tell you what I've got them in front of me if you want. Shiraz, Grenache, Cab Sav, Grenache Noir, which I'm not sure the difference between that and Grenache, and then Mataro, and then Chenin Blanc. And Mataro's there under Mataro and Mourvèdre, but they're the same grape.
Probably depends how members entered it into the spreadsheet as to how it came out.
Yeah, yeah. Because Mataro is the Australian name for Mourvèdre. And Grenache Noir, I presume, is Grenache, because it's unlikely you've got lots of Grenache Blanc there.
Yeah, strictly it's Grenache Noir, but
if you look at it, it's quite interesting. As you say, Shiraz is number one, and you've also on your website, you've got the sort of top five wines in the region in another part of your website, and Shiraz is number one in the old vines, Shiraz is number one in the region, Cab Sav's number two, but Grenache is number two in the old vines. So you've kept more old vine Grenache than possibly you would have thought, because if you look at the numbers, Shiraz has got just over 100 hectares and Grenache has got around 70 hectares of old vines, but Cab Sav is the number two grape variety these days, and Grenache is like 6% of current plantings.
Well, small, yeah.
What's happened there? Is it that they've just held on to the Grenache?
And the Cab Sav was planted a lot more recently. So even though the Cab Sav is a significant variety in McLaren Vale, it was planted much more recently in the scheme of things.
Yeah. Is that a function of vine material coming into Australia and popularity? Or because in the old days, you know, McLaren Vale, like most of Australia, would have been producing fortified wines, you know, port-like product. Is it more to do with the fact that, you know, Shiraz and Grenache are good for port and Cab Sav wasn't? I don't know. I'm just asking what's going on there.
Yes. There was, I mean, going back before before the table wine boom, but the red wine boom of the 60s and 70s, as you say, it was all fortified, really, and the Shiraz and Grenache were made excellent fortified wine. And a lot of those vineyards were hung on to because when the table wine thing happened, they also happen to make a table one, and so very handy. And it more reflects. So why is there there's a lot of old Grenache? Because that more reflects the plantings back
in those times. Yeah,
There was a lot more Grenache. So
and then in more recent times, Cab Sav was planted because of popularity.
Yeah, and also if you think about it, Shiraz and particularly Grenache. Grenache is quite drought tolerant. Cab Sav less so. So Grenache, for your McLaren Vale climate, would be a better grape variety. If you know, before irrigation.
Before irrigation, yeah.
Definitely, yeah. Yeah, exactly.
So you can sort of see how, you know, how the old vines actually reflect some of the changes in the wine industry over the time as well.
Yeah, quite right.
Yeah, that's right. And then in the 90s, when irrigation came in, I guess the varieties changed a bit, didn't they?
Yeah. I noticed that Chenin Blanc is your number six in old vines. I don't think of McLaren Vale as a Chenin Blanc region.
No, but there is a niche interest in it here, and I didn't realise myself we had
3.5 hectares. So
it's but it's number six.
Yeah, it's still number six.
Yeah, yeah. So there's not a lot of Chenin Blanc there, but it's still there and quite important as well. And Chardonnay, there's a little bit of Chardonnay, but it's, you know, Chardonnay is your number four grape variety in McLaren Vale, top white grape variety by plantings. And Chardonnay's got even less than Chenin Blanc.
No.
Why is that? What, did people tend to grab them up, or what's going on there?
Yeah, they grabbed them up. I mean, there was a big...
Was that during the wine pool?
No, after, really. Okay. I think there was there was a period of the 80s and 90s, I guess it was, when people were loving big, rich, buttery Chardonnay, and then they didn't. And McLaren Vale is a warm-growing region. Like, it doesn't make Chablis, it makes big, rich, buttery Chardonnay. And then didn't want it, and people just go, I don't think the market's coming back. I'm just going to get rid of them.
Yeah, that's a shame. I quite like it.
Yeah,
it's probably coming back a little bit nowadays, isn't it? Yeah, it's like there's two things, isn't it? There's like nothing more unfashionable than last week's fashion. There's nothing more fashionable than the fashion 30 years ago. So,
yeah,
that's right.
That's a shame. But you mentioned the vine pool schemes. Tell us about that, because I know the Australian government's paid winemakers in the past to pull out vines. And as you said, you know, if you're a grower and you're getting paid to pull out grapes, you're going to pull out the old ones because they're the least productive. So why did the Australian government pay people to pull out vines? And was it the old vines that got hammered the most?
Well, it was mainly because the government shouldn't get involved in these things, right? We all know that now. Hopefully they wouldn't do it again. But in the 70s, there was a big red wine boom. And then in the 80s, there was a this Chardonnay boom. Like, McLaren Vale is a predominantly red growing region, always has been. And then we planted a lot of probably the Chardonnay in the 70s and 80s, or 80s and 90s to cater for that. While that market was just going gangbusters, people could not sell their red grapes. My father had to started buying us some white grapes in because consumers coming to sell the door just wanted white. Everybody wanted white. It was like you were saying a minute ago, Chris, when fashions they're shocking. They go so hard one way and then the other. So you couldn't sell red. So the state government thought in their wisdom, we'll help these poor growers in McLaren Vale who can't sell the red to plant some Chardonnay. We'll pay them. And they had the ear of some people in the vineyard industry in this regard, I'm sure. We'll help them, you know, they've got so little money, we'll help them get rid of the old, uneconomic red vineyards and plant some Chardonnay, presumably, or something new.
Trendy.
And particularly remember Grenache suffered because, I said before, like our Grenache vineyard here, planted in 1934, dry-grown bush vines. There is nothing more expensive to maintain than bush vines because you're obliged to hand-pick and hand-prune. And all of that was getting mechanised in the 70s and 80s. And there's nothing lower in production than dry-grown vines. So when the price for, let's just say, talk about Grenache for a minute, in the 80s was, you know, $200 or $300 a tonne when you were getting $2,000 a tonne for Chardonnay, you can only hang on as a farmer for so long. And then the state government started saying, well, we'll pay you a couple hundred dollars an acre to pull out your poor old Grenache that nobody wants. And they were remember, they were old then. A lot of this vineyard was old then and low in production. And, you know, the farmers, as I said, you can only hang out for so many years. I said, okay, they're gone. And yeah, tragically, we lost a lot of old red vineyard then.
What's the oldest vines you've got in McLaren Vale that you're aware of?
That is the Paxton vines, and they were from 1887. So that's the old block Shiraz from Paxton. So the Paxtons have been, they're probably third generation, are they, Paxtons? They've got quite a few vineyards around the region.
Yeah. tried to find the a wine called Pax and Old Block Shiraz because I figured they would make a big thing of that, but they don't. They've got a James Block or something like that, but there's no Old Block Shiraz. What, you don't know what they use it for?
They do a single block old vine wine. Whether it comes from that block though or not is another thing, because we did send one over to Jance's as well, but it may just be the Old Block is the name for that block of Shiraz that they just, you know, it's just their, how they call it amongst themselves rather than actually on a label.
I was having a look at Jance's because you said Jance's has got a, Jance Robinson, which is a, she's a wino over in the UK here. She's been working or work, some of her team have been working to put together a big registry of old vines. And the oldest one I could find on her registry, just a FYI, is 1771. A vine still producing in South Africa in Cape Town. It's a single vine though, Signal Hill.
And it
makes about 20 bottles a year, apparently.
Yeah, wow.
That's great.
I mean, that 1771, that's pretty old. That is pretty old. I was pretty impressed with that. Moving on from old vines, Drew, I've got a question. I noticed in your vineyard, you guys have planted Graciano. Now, Graciano is a Spanish grape variety. It's used in Rioja, and I probably think Graciano is probably, of the four grapes used in Rioja, that's the best quality one. But everybody gets all excited about Tempranillo. Why did you plant Graciano in McLaren Vale?
Just a hunch, really. We only grew Grenache, like historically on the property. When I said the young vines that I referred to before, that was the Graciano, actually. I thought it would suit our region and soils because of its history in Spain. Mm. And I learnt about it through my sort of studies and Master of Wine and whatnot, and thought it, and just took a punt, really, Chris. It was difficult, a little bit difficult to get the plant material here because, there wasn't much, but in the Barossa vine collection, they had, I think, from memory, maybe four or eight vines there, I can't remember now, and they were kind enough to give me some cuttings, and we propagated some up and put them in, just kind of on a hunch. And so, in summary, it's done pretty well. We use it in our Eclipse. So we use it as a seasoning ingredient with the Grenache, only sort of 5%. And no regrets, but it's dark in colour. It's high in acid and tannin. So it's a good blending foil for Grenache. It's sort of an alternative, and this is how I saw it from the beginning, to Matara. Oh, I'm sorry, Morvedre. In that it's similar. It's late ripening, dark. The flavour is quite different, but in those properties it's similar. Yeah, but it's gone quite well.
Will you plant more of it, do you think, or just leave it at...
No. It has an unfortunate habit, although the canopy looks good after, but we're getting more and more 38-plus degree days like through our summers. We've always had those here, but when I was a kid here going to school, we would get sent home from school with the third day over 100 degrees, over 38. We'd get off school. Now, you know, 38, bloody hell, that's nothing. We get 40s, we get 42s. Graciano, unfortunately, we've discovered the Grenache is holding up really well in that warming climate. The young vine, the Graciano, the foliage is just curious, but the foliage holds really well, but the fruit burns. So you get the exposed side of a bunch just desiccates to nothing. And that's an unfortunate habit that means I wouldn't go growing a heap of it in our environment. But the little bit we've got is good.
Okay. And the last question is for Rachel. You're with McLaren Vale Grape Wine and Tourism Association, and that tourism must have been pretty hard hit during COVID, but Australia is just opening up to foreign tourists. Are you like, yeah, go for it. Let's go. Let's get those tourists into the vineyard. Trapes and that flocks are all over the place or, you know.
Yeah, absolutely we are. But the funny thing is I think during COVID, and I think a lot of tourist regions in Australia would say this, is people actually got really quite busy in a lot of ways because people wouldn't go over, locals couldn't go overseas. There was a lot of internal travel. So I think a lot of people have taken the time to really get to know their own backyard, but absolutely bring back the international tourists. We're very much looking forward to it.
Okay, and so... from a tourist point of view, internal tourism was enough to, because a lot of McLaren Vale is I always, it's not quite boutique-y because there is some bulky stuff there, but it's generally not a big wine region. So I would have thought cellar door is quite an important component of your industry.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm sure the cellar door people, cellar doors would absolutely be looking forward to international tourists, and there's no doubt they have been hit hard. But at the same time, I think it's given people the opportunity to really see what's around there in their backyard and get out there and visit their local wineries and discover what's around.
Cool. All right, then. I think we'll wrap it up there, guys. Thank you very much for your time.
No worries.
Thanks, Chris.